Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow, God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
This is Wretched Radio at Minute. You're multitasking electronically. You're listening to this, but you're looking at that. What do you see? If it's wretched, we'd like to see it too. And you can send it to us so we can. Idea@wretched.org. If you prefer to express yourself, whether you do it in the voice of Madonna or not, express yourself by calling 877-282-2337.
All right, and this is Derek. Todd, I generally find myself aligned with your thoughts on Christian television and movie productions depicting biblical portrayals such as The Chosen or The House of David.
Great, thanks. That's a good email. That's really good. Thank you very much for that, Derek. I appreciate your affirmation. Let's go on.
You don't want the however?
Well, we'll see.
However, your recent evaluation of The King of Kings left me wondering, just how dogmatic are you? I use dogmatic in jest, but what exactly is the standard we should look for?
Me! Use my standards. We'll all get along just fine. There have been a plethora of Christian offerings as of late, and these are of the category of Bible stories or Bible recreations. I think it's important to start out with understanding there can be a Christian film. Fireproof comes to mind. All right. That's not putting the words into the mouth of a Bible character, especially the Savior. It's a Christian story, and we would judge that theologically, biblically. You can get into the aesthetics, the production quality, all of that. But I think that's a category that is safe as long as there's nothing innately sinful baked into it. It's the category of Bible recreations that I think are fraught with problems. Now, inside of the category of Bible recreations, you're going to love this if you're a Puritan, there are two subcategories. I think the first subcategory are those that are word for word. They're the ones that, like, I think of the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of John. These came out years ago, probably 20 years ago. It is word for word. And I think that those are different than those that make up words and insert them into the mouth of Jesus Christ or any other Bible character. Why? Because those present themselves as scripture, but they're not. Now, having said that, I do think even the Bible recreation stories that are word for word, I would not disqualify them for your viewing edification, but I think you need to use a level of discernment. Now, I grant you, you might say, I'm about to be inconsistent. I'm not being flip about this. In my mind, I'm not. That's where everything resides in your mind. It resides in my mind. So just saying that doesn't get you off the hook of potentially contradicting myself. But it really does work for me. Here's why I make a distinction. The subcategory of adding words to the mouth of Jesus or anybody else, that to me is just verboten. Why? Because the Bible makes it clear everything we have in Scripture is sufficient and we shouldn't be adding words. Furthermore, it's nothing but mere mortal machinations. It's making up what we think maybe was said for the sake of storytelling. In other words, I think it's adding to Scripture. It causes confusion. Therefore, that level of discernment, I think, is of a higher level than the levels of discernment you need for watching a word-for-word category Bible story. Why do you need to practice any discernment at all with a Bible story? And why am I willing to let those stories off the hook versus putting words into the mouth of the Savior Bible stories? Well, because I think that there are certain elements that do get added even to word-for-word creations. There's tone. There is emphasis in speech. How the sentence is even presented. In other words, there is some interpretation even when the individual is speaking the Bible word for word. Now, why would I say we can work past that? Why would I say that's okay, but putting words in the mouth of Jesus isn't okay? Because of the public reading of Scripture. That's why. Paul commanded Timothy, you need to be reading the Bible publicly. And anytime you read the Bible publicly, you are going to speak it in a way that brings some sort of interpretation to the reading of the word. And if it's okay for that to happen, we need to be discerning about it. Because, for instance, if somebody got up to read John 3:16 and they said, for God so loved the world, gave his only begotten son, you go, whoa, what are you doing? That's probably not the way that it was spoken. Now, was it spoken, for God so loved the world? I hope not. But how was it? But we bring that, and the Bible gives us the permission to allow that. Therefore, when I think a movie makes a word-for-word presentation of, in this instance, Matthew and John, we just need to be mindful of it, but it doesn't disqualify the movie. I think there's just other elements that don't reach that same level of discernment as the category of putting words into the mouth of the Savior movies. Sound effects, music gets put inside of them. All right, let's just do a little test here. I've been multitasking. I actually pulled up the Gospel of Matthew. We've heard this clip before. This is Matthew 23. Now, word for word, question, is this how Jesus said these words?
Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples,
the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat.
Now, I could say that 70 different ways. The teachers of the law and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. No, that's my interpretation versus this actor's interpretation. Again, we need to be discerning because it does bring a shading to the reading, but we know that is also true when it comes to the public reading of Scripture.
So you must obey them and do everything they tell you.
But do not do what they do. That's right. Okay. So you've got interpretation in that. Here's the Gospel of John. I can't remember this actor's name. I've spoken to him before. We emailed for a bit. He's a professing believer. I can't remember. Could you maybe find it, Jimmy? Veteran British filmmaker. Phillips directs the Gospel of John and with a guy who played Jesus. Okay. So here's a scene. Listen for sound effects, music, and how the words are presented.
Do you believe in the Son of Man?
Tell me who he is, sir, so that I can believe in him.
You have already seen him. And he is the one who is talking with you now.
I believe, Lord.
And he knelt down before Jesus.
Really sweet scene, by the way. Now he's going to turn his attention to the Pharisees. And you're going to hear a lot of interpretation.
I came to this world to judge, so that the blind should see, and those who see should become blind.
Some Pharisees who were there with him heard him say this and asked him,
surely you don't mean that we are blind too?
If you were blind, then you would not be guilty. But since you claim that you can see, this means that you are still guilty.
Is that how he said it?
I'm telling you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who goes in through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep.
By the way, you've got another issue with these films. Is this what Jesus looked like? Do I get that image baked into my brain? Does that confuse me in any way? I think these are levels of discernment that need to be applied to virtually every sort of Christian art, especially of the genre of Bible recreation stories. I have a confession to make. I know that perhaps my levels of discernment on this subject could be tainted because when it comes to the stuff where we put words in the mouth of Jesus, I can't watch it for a second. It's like, no, no, no. Who do we think we are? Speaking for God? But when it comes to these presentations of just speaking it word for word, I do confess, I like this.
The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep hear his voice as he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought them out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice.
By the way, they're showing sheep being let out of a pen simultaneously with a lot of baaing in the background. Was there a lot of baaing in the background? Okay. Well, I don't know, but that I can screen that out without it compromising what Jesus taught or adding words to what Jesus taught. So, Derek, those would be my rules. Disagree? 877-282-2337. This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies. You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at fortisinstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Lawson, real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. fortisinstitute.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 70 AD. Titus destroys Jerusalem and the temple. The separation between Christianity and Judaism deepens, and Christians spread throughout the Roman Empire, spreading the gospel as they go. God uses tragedy to forward his great commission. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I knew that. Right after Jimmy told me, this is Wretched Radio. Okay, what's the name of the actor who played Jesus in the Gospel of John?
It's Henry Cusick.
That's it right there.
Yep.
Is he still working, that fellow?
He appears to be, yes.
More importantly, is he still a professing believer? That's the question that I'd like to have answered. He appeared in the Gospel of John in, what year was that thing made?
03.
Get out of town.
2003.
Oh, man, I was at the cinder block bunker in the middle of a field called KKMS in Eagan, Minnesota, when this movie came out. And I remember watching it the first time and being aware there are dramatic elements that do get added. But I think that is on a different plane than adding words. This is a word for word recreation. And so I think watching something like this you got to use discernment, even as you listen and watch, is different than watching Bible stories where they put words into the mouth of Jesus. And if you're wondering, Todd, are you going to go down that rabbit hole and click the button and listen to more of the Gospel of John? Yeah.
Jesus spoke to the Pharisees again.
I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life and will never walk in darkness.
Now you are testifying on your own behalf. What you say proves nothing.
No. Even though I do testify on my own behalf, what I say is true. Because I know where I came from and where I am going. You do not know where I came from or where I'm going. You make judgments in a purely human way. I pass judgment on no one. But if I were to do so, my judgment would be true. Because I am not alone in this. The Father who sent me is with me. It is written in your law that when two witnesses agree, what they say is true. I testify on my own behalf, and the Father who sent me also testifies on my behalf.
Where is your Father?
That was really snarky. That was kind of what we think a Joseph crack.
No, neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also.
Jesus said all this as he taught in the temple, in the room where the offering boxes were placed. And no one arrested him, because his hour had not come.
I just love watching this. And the scene then in the marketplace, where the people are questioning him, and he lays down the I am statement. If only I could push this button again and we could listen.
I will go away. You will look for me. But you will die in your sins. You cannot go where I am going.
He says that we cannot go where he is going. Does this mean that he will kill himself?
You belong to this world here below, but I come from above. You are from this world, but I am not from this world. That is why I told you that you will die in your sins. And you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am who I am.
Jesus never said that he was God. Right. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Anonymous text. Todd, where did the concept of asking for permission from the bride's father come from? Is this derived from scripture or is it just a tradition?
Yeah, I think it's both. I don't know where it started. I don't think that we see an example even in a historical narrative of a young man asking the future father-in-law, may he marry the man's daughter. I don't think we see that in the Bible, but I do think that tradition, wherever, whenever it started, did emanate from the Bible. And I think I can make the case for it pretty powerfully and offer an encouragement to you, young man. If you are thinking about marrying a young lady, you better be thinking about getting permission from Pop. Here's the word that should motivate you to do so. Covenant. When a baby is born, they are brought into a familial covenant. Mom and dad are the authorities. The children are to honor. The mom and dad are to love and nurture, protect and defend. That is a little covenantal unit. When the daughter goes about the business of getting married, the daughter is leaving that protective covenant. It doesn't mean the relationship disappears. No, you still have a mom and dad and siblings. But when you leave that covenant, the dynamic changes because you're entering into a marriage covenant where it is now husband and wife. You'll start your own little familial covenant about 9 months later. But when you get married, you're entering into a marriage covenant which supersedes the familial covenant. And we understand, therefore, that there's a transfer of the daughter from one covenant into another covenant. And now this is going to make the feminist just bellyache and wail. Why? Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. Number one, that daughter is a man's precious, precious child. He and mom have raised that child, educated that child, discipled that child, protected that child, stayed up with that child. That child is precious. For some guy to just swoop in and take her, bad form. That girl does not belong to you. I'm not talking about in a servitude kind of dynamic. I'm talking about the familial covenant. That child belongs to mom and dad. To not ask for permission to marry and transfer her and move her out of that covenant into yours, I'm sorry. I think it's rude. And so I think the tradition wherever... Jimmy, start AIing this.
Okay.
If you haven't already.
All right.
So that we can find out where maybe this tradition began. I think that they did that out of respect and to say, I am now going to take that mantle of protecting that woman, taking care of her the way the Bible describes. May I have permission to do that? So I think it's a tradition. I don't know where it started, but, and I don't even know if it's uniquely Western, but I do think that the principle and the ideas were motivated by understanding covenants in the Bible. Jimmy, you find anything about it?
Yeah, so not biblical. I mean, it is actually pulled from the Bible, like you said, but there's no explicit verses and there's nothing in tradition that I can see where it began.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I mean, I'm sure it started, everything has a start somewhere.
Okay, but AI doesn't say it was in 1742, tradition began in Scotland or something. No, nothing like that.
Uh-uh, no.
Alrighty. Well, you know what that means, don't you?
What's that?
We should probably listen to more Gospel of John.
They don't understand that Jesus was talking to them about the Father.
When you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am who I am. Then you will know that I do nothing on my own authority. I say only what the Father has instructed me to say. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. Because I always do what pleases him.
Many who heard Jesus say these things believed in him.
Okay, I think this is my favorite part.
If you obey my teaching, you are really my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
We are the descendants of Abraham, and we have never been anybody's slaves. What do you mean, then, by saying you will be free?
I am telling you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave does not belong to a family permanently, but a son belongs there forever. If the son sets you free, then you will be really free. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are trying to kill me because you will not accept my teaching. I talk about what my father has shown me. But you do what your father has told you.
My father is Abraham.
It's Abraham! If you really were Abraham's children, you would do the same things that he did. All I have ever done is to tell you the truth I heard from God, yet you are trying to kill me. Abraham did nothing like this. You were doing what your father did.
God himself is the only father we have, and we are his true children.
If God really were your father, you would love me because I came from God and now I am here. I did not come on my own authority, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to listen to my message. You are the children of your father, the devil! And you want to follow your father's desires! From the very beginning, he was a murderer and has never been on the side of truth.
because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he is only doing what is natural to him, because he is a liar and the father of all lies. But I tell the truth, and that is why you do not believe me.
Wouldn't it be breathtaking to meet him face to face someday? And we can even ask him, how did you talk to them? How did you preach to them? What was your tone? We'll actually be able to go directly to the source. And to those who would say that Jesus never claimed to be God, just go read John 8 over again. Now read the entire gospel. Read the Bible. And it emphatically declares the Messiah is God, and Jesus is that Messiah. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. We start with the YMCA, apparently forgetting both its name and its mission, as a North Kansas City YMCA is defending a man who exposed himself to a 7-year-old girl in the women's locker room. And when confronted, he simply said, "Honey, I'm a woman." Well, the YMCA responded by saying they're investigating while also reminding everyone they follow state laws allowing people to use facilities matching their identity. It's not their first rodeo either, because they apparently banned a teenage girl and an 80-year-old grandmother for objecting to men and women's spaces. Speaking of gender confusion, Dylan Mulvaney should probably reconsider his plans to move to London. He recently declared that he might relocate there permanently, citing that people have just been so kind. Well, he might be surprised to learn the UK Supreme Court just ruled the legal definition of woman is based on biology and not feelings. The court declared the concept of sex as binary. A person is either a woman or a man. A statement once considered common sense, but now apparently it's so revolutionary that we have to have it codified into law. Meanwhile, a bearded man calling himself a very proud disabled trans woman has protested the London ruling, complaining about being misgendered despite sporting a full beard. Truth continues to be truth even when you don't understand how to accept it. In Canada, the Canadian state media CBC has been forced to retract false claims about Indigenous residential schools after accusing independent outlet Rebel News of misinformation. The CBC's chief political correspondent falsely claimed remains of Indigenous children had been found at various locations, a narrative that fueled over 100 church burnings across Canada. And even in their correction, the CBC couldn't bring themselves to admit no human remains have been discovered, despite extensive excavations. And in Wisconsin, a brewer has declared that they will not be selling beer to MAGA. And when backlash came, as you might expect, they claimed it was just a joke because they couldn't enforce it. Though their progressive beer lineup might say otherwise. They have a Biden beer and a science beer. Cornell University has refused to cancel a performance by an openly anti-Semitic singer who has called Zionists evil and scum of the earth despite having $1 billion in federal funds frozen. Meanwhile, the Justice Department is urging a federal judge to force Google to sell its Chrome browser, addressing the tech giant's monopolistic practices. The deputy attorney general said as a monopolist, Google uses its market power against the American people, adding it has deplatformed conservative speech and put its thumb on the scale politically for years. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. 1 Samuel tells the story of God's interaction with Israel through the prophet Samuel. When Israel asked for an earthly king, God gave them Saul, who, like Israel, drifted from God's law. So God commanded Samuel to anoint a new king, David, who was a man after God's heart. God does not look on the outward appearance, but on the heart. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Huh. This is... What does this button do?
Oh! Which one of you can prove that I am guilty of sin?
The Gospel of John.
If I tell the truth, then why do you not believe me? He who comes from God listens to God's words. You, however, are not from God. And that is why you will not listen.
Were we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon in you?
I have no demon. I honor my father, but you dishonor me. I am not seeking honor for myself, but there is one who is seeking it and who judges in my favor. I am telling you the truth. Whoever obeys my teaching will never die.
Now we know for sure that you have a demon. Abraham died and the prophets died. Yet you say that whoever obeys your teaching will never die.
Our father Abraham died. You do not claim to be greater than Abraham, do you?
And the prophets also died. Who do you think you are?
If I were to honor myself, that honor would be worth nothing. The one who honors me is my father, the very one you say is your God. You have never known him, but I know. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him, and I obey his word. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced that he was to see the time of my coming. He saw it and was glad.
You are not even 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham.
Get ready.
I'm telling you the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am.
That'll do it. This is Wretched Radio. Send your stuff that you identify as wretched to idea@wretched.org. Text away 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Randall. Todd, a Baptist church near my house is holding a revival every night this week. And they gave away a Nintendo Switch
last night. We know something.
What's that?
We know that Randall doesn't live in the South.
Why?
Because that isn't remarkable. That's just, everybody's having a revival at every Baptist church and they're giving away what, Nintendo?
They gave away a Nintendo Switch.
That's one way to lure them in.
Oh, but it's not over. Tonight, they're giving away a brand new Ford truck.
What kind?
Ford
F-150.
Oh, he just says
I'd go to that revival. I might even walk the altar or the aisle to get to that lottery.
Who knows what else they're going to give away the rest of the week. But he says, my wife, kids, and I left that church back in 2008 over similar issues. We still have friends in the church and wonder if we should approach them with this. And if so, how?
I think that I would do a little studying of the landscape. Where are you at in your relationship? Where are they at in progressing and understanding maybe that the church is a little bit wonky? But would I would weigh all of those things, and then I'd ask, is this the issue? Would this be a hill that I would like to die on? I don't think personally I would. This is bad ecclesiology. I could critique this. We have critiqued this for years. This bait and switch, this using giveaway, come and win a Ford F-150. Maybe like 10% of them will stick around and actually start coming to church. Well, what you win them with is what you got to keep them with. And I think the entire idea of doing these type of giveaways to the community for the sake of gathering a crowd, it's at the very least a bad idea. Is it heresy? Don't think we can say that. That's why I would be more inclined to take a look at the church dogma. Are they preaching the essentials? And I mean preaching, not saying that they adhere to a faith statement that you can find online. Are they actually practicing what they claim to believe? That's what I'd be focusing on. How's the preaching? How's the teaching? Where's their theology? Because I think that is just more solid ground for you to bring legitimate concerns and accusations about a church. And I hope you win the truck. 877-282-2337.
I hope next year it's not something bigger.
I tell you, if I could like bibbidi bobbidi boo and have a vehicle, it would be a Ford F-150. That's a good looking truck. Just better. And I they're better than Dodge Rams. Sorry, Dodge Ram fans, the GMC, none of them. They're just that Ford F-150. And that is why Who at the Ford Automobile Company made the decision to turn the Ford F-150 into an electric vehicle? I mean, honestly, do you not know who buys these things? 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from William. It's a text. Todd, what do you think about, it's kind of along the same line, what do you think about a church selling merch? Like t-shirts and sweaters and clothing with the church's branding on it.
Yeah, it depends. Now, we don't see a Bible verse prohibiting that. What's the motivation? Why are they doing it? Is there anything behind it that's nefarious? What's the messaging? And if there's nothing that's overtly sinful, it's not shady in any regard, maybe isn't my favorite thing, but I don't think that I would call it a sin. We see merchant, like Christian shirts. Some of them can actually be quite good. There's somebody who does Christian shirts. I get their emails. Wow. I should know. It's like, is it Missional Wear?
Oh, yeah, Missional Wear, I think. Yeah.
Something like that. I've seen some cool stuff there. I don't think there's anything wrong with those things. But if a church is kind of setting it up in a marketplace and they're not just, it crosses the line of turning the Father's house into a place of merchandise for the sake of profit, that would be problematic. Short of that, 877-282-2337. What?
Nothing. I was just, I agree with you. I agree with you for once. So this next one is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I've been seeing this girl for a few years now, and I'm wondering if I should end the relationship.
Let me think. Oh, wait, we need more details.
Yeah, we're constantly at odds over just about anything. And since I've become a Christian, I've started to doubt that she's actually a Christian, as she claims. When we first met, she seemed to be bearing fruit, though I wasn't a Christian then. But now her life doesn't really reflect Christian behavior. And whenever I bring this up, she explodes. Mm-hmm. Should I continue the relationship or just move on?
I think you need to define where you're at and ask yourself the question, where is this going? Then get ready for this. I would encourage you, engage your families. Don't get engaged. Engage your families. What do they think about it? What does your church family think about it? How do they assess the dynamic of the relationship? You've got to have full communication with her, and then you need to bring others in to help you make correct assessments. And that goes for both of you, by the way. So if you're at odds now on all of these things and you're on different pages, especially if it's theologically, especially if you're concerned that the individual is not saved, well, you shouldn't be advancing toward marriage. You want to work these things out. So that means, guess what? You're going to have to put yourselves in the friend zone, which is precisely where you should have been all along, frankly, that you remain friends. Now, you can have conversations about the potential of marriage, what that might look like as friends. But that's the only license that you have for a relationship with a young lady. You can befriend her. There just isn't a biblical category for engagement. Nevertheless, I would encourage you, do a little time out wherever you're at, wherever this thing has progressed, and say, let's sort this. Let's get families involved. Let's get our elders involved. Because if we're going to get married, We need to have harmony in our home. We want peace. I want it. You want it. How would we raise our kids? We need to sort through this and then do that. And if she protests and doesn't want to do that, well, then you probably have your answer too. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Hannah. Todd, what are some practical ways a church body can pursue fellowship around our differences and stop or curb grouping ourselves according to sameness?
Read 1 Corinthians. and be scolded by it. Don't form cliques. Don't form factions. I read an article. Somebody did it last. I didn't bring it into the studio. But it was, they called it not factions, but like our territories and how we divide over things that are not worthy of division. Yeah. They're saved, but do you know where they stand on tariffs? Okay, that just shouldn't be what divides us. But these days it does. And so we need to watch out for unnecessary division. Simultaneously, there are times to divide. But those are over the essential issues, or it could be a physical division simply because of the practicality of working out differences in understanding doctrines. So I think that we all need to take a word from Paul. Don't be breaking yourself into this camp and that camp over this issue and that issue. Having said that, we know that there can be times, so as long as we're clear on that, truth does divide. But there are so many things that are dividing us unnecessarily. It is perhaps, I'm trying to think of another trend that is actually more pernicious than the trend of the unnecessary division that is currently happening inside of conservative Bible teaching brothers and sisters. This is Wretched Radio.
So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is giving. All Christians are commanded to give, but God has given some an extra measure of generosity so that they can give generously, knowing that God will provide for them as they work to provide for the needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, and love, Foster. Love. This is Wretched Radio. If you want to put the kibosh on divisions in your churches, love. That is the cure. When we genuinely love one another, we will overlook a multitude of sins. We will not put the worst construction on everything. We will overlook a number of things. If you don't love somebody, you just shade it. If they're just not your favorite person, the way that they said that kind of gets up my nose. But if you love that person, it's like, oh, I think that was fine. No, that didn't bother me. Why? because love overlooks all of those things. We know that there are times to divide over essentials and just some practical practices, but the carping and the dividing and the fighting and the fissions that are not necessary because they aren't essential, we've got to work hard to get rid of them. And the best way that you can do that and put fertilizer on faction busting is to promote love. How do you do that? I think it has to come from the pulpit. I think it has to come also from what is being taught and how things are being taught in Sunday school. Right now at Alpharetta Bible Church, we're getting really close to starting a biblical counseling center. Super excited about this. It's going to be, well, what it said, a biblical counseling center under the auspices of the church. Was talking to the gang at Low Country Biblical Counseling there in South Carolina. And Tim said something that I knew about preaching and teaching, but it caught my attention when he talked about the need to make sure that the counselors of a counseling center all have the same goal. In other words, that they've all determined in advance when we bring somebody in to counsel them, we have an aim. And if you don't define that mark, you're going to miss it. So what would be the aim of biblical counseling? Well, we're kind of wrestling through it. And I think that there can be multiple aims because you could argue for different ways of phrasing some of these elements. But what do we want in biblical counseling? We want people to love the Lord more. We want people to grow in godliness. We want people to glorify the Lord. We want people to be relishing the guidance that the Bible gives us so that we can be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. All right, if you forget that, what are you going to do? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, look at this verse. You got to apply, put off, put on. You got to start doing this and stop doing that. Take a look at this Bible verse. Your theology is a little bit wonky. You'll do biblical counseling, but without an objective, it typically is going to fall short. And I think the same thing is true with preaching and teaching. I believe preaching and teaching should foster our love for God. That's what it should do. Now, we do that through theological, didactic teaching. That's true. You gotta have that, by the way, because if you don't have facts, then your emotions are going to be wonky. So truth needs to precede our emotions. So we don't get away from teaching, but if the aim of the teaching, the goal of the teaching is not to grow us all in love, then we're going to miss the mark. So that is why if your church is experiencing a lot of divisions, that could be the chief reason that love is not being fostered. I would add, I can think of a second reason, and that is you don't have a shared hermeneutic. You're not interpreting the Bible the same way. And so that could be causing division. Either way, get on the same page regarding hermeneutics and start fostering love. It will help erase the divisions and keeping the factions from happening. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Matthew. Todd, do you consider a small group, prayer group, or Bible study together to be the local church? Or would you consider a local church one that has a pastor and or elders?
Yeah, a church has to have elders. Has to. Now, can you do it in a home setting? Sure, I think you can do that. You want to make sure that the elders are qualified. I've always said it just doesn't take long in a home church for it to become a church. It's a practical outworking of a healthy organism. You start to have more people coming. Like, we can't fit in our house. You got a bigger house. Hey, what about that family? We could do it in your garage. You got that barn out back. We could do it there. And the next thing you know, you're looking for space. And you're looking to lease at the Holiday Inn or at the high school. So I think that inevitably those things will actually end up there if they are growing. But you need to have what the Bible says makes up a church. So you've got to have elders. I think that you've got to have Bible teaching. You need to have regulated worship that's taking place. You need to have the Lord's table and baptisms. You need to be able to practice church discipline. Those are the elements that make up a church. So can you do it in a home setting? Yeah. Now, a small group, I think, is simply an outworking of a local church, but it's not a local church in and of itself, unless, of course, it has those aforementioned elements. Without it, it's a small group. Jimmy, are you in a small group?
Am I in a small group? Yeah. Yes, I do. I teach a small group.
Do you really? Now, see, this is precisely why we shouldn't gamble. I would have lost that bet.
I didn't even know you're Christian, Jimmy.
No, I... What? Is that the mark of being saved? Is you're in a small group?
No.
I just didn't pick you for a small group kind of guy.
Yeah.
How many people get together?
Oh, man, it's different from week to week. But and when I say small group, it's a group of men. I teach a group of men on Saturday mornings. But I guess it is a smaller group. Yeah.
Who are these men?
These are the men of my church.
And what are we teaching these men at your church?
How to be a man. No.
You know that you just set that right up on a tee for me.
Yeah, no.
And I just didn't take a swing because I could have.
So right now.
And you're teaching them?
I am.
Sorry, I couldn't. I tried.
So we've been, the main goal and purpose is, teaching them, discipling them to be leaders and to begin discipling others. But man, we've spent the last year and a half in spiritual growth.
Hey, what is the name of Charlie's podcast?
White Harvest.
White Harvest. Okay, so where you Spotify, whatever, go find the White Harvest podcast, Charlie Parrish, Jimmy's pastor who hosts it. His guest was Jimmy. And dude, the link you sent me, again, I still can't fast forward on it. I got 16 minutes into your story. He's interviewing Jimmy and it's really good. And your testimony and your conversion story. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm in. But I had to stop. And then whatever the thing that I was using, just I had to go back to the beginning. Well, so use the Spotify or the Google or the Apple.
Yeah, you know most of it anyway.
But I was enjoying it. I love testimonies. They just remind you, oh, God is at work. The world isn't revolving around me. He's working in the lives of other people. It's really good. Jimmy, we had a small group sort of on Wednesday night.
Okay.
Oh, it was so fun. We went bowling. That's right. We went bowling. You know, that church activity that's in the Bible someplace. That bowling was, we just, all the young adults came, had such a good time. And okay, just because I wouldn't put my feet into shoes that have been worn by 800 other people. So guess what I got to do? I got to be with Sadie. A couple brought their baby and they were bowling and it's like, I'll take that. Oh, did I have fun, dude. I just got to dote on her for like an hour, whatever it was. Just absolutely delightful time. It was such a good time. It was just getting together. Now, all it did was just strengthen us and our bond. It wasn't, though, biblically speaking, fellowship, unless, of course, we were there talking about Jesus. We were just there having a good time together, and that can strengthen your bond. Why? Because it grows us in love for one another. And that helps to avoid factions. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I was recently asked my opinion of an individual and made it known that I have a less than favorable view of them because I overheard them talking negatively about me on more than one occasion.
And there's a lot going on there. Okay, I'm tracking, I think.
I feel as though I've engaged in gossip. I've prayed on this and repented and would like some advice on how I may rectify this because I'm at a bit of a loss on how to move forward.
Well, clean up your mess. If that's what you've done, then who heard it? If you just gossip to one person, well, then you've got to go to that person and repent of that. But when you do go to that person, did you share this with anybody else? Because you're responsible for that too. This is the old feather pillow story. This beaten sermon illustration about gossip. The woman was gossiping. Somebody was gossiping, causing all kinds of problems in the church, which gossip does. Oh, man, is it corrosive. Very few things can wreck a church quite like gossip. And so the pastor's trying to, who's been doing this, finds out it's Glenda. Brings Glenda in to explain to her why she needs to stop gossiping. And she doesn't receive his counsel well, which makes her a proverbial fool. So he grabs a bed pillow. Don't ask me where he got it. It's a sermon illustration. He goes up on top of the building with Glenda into the thing, the tower that they happen to have at their church. And he cuts open the pillowcase and he just sprays the feathers out into the air and they go flying. And he said, "Would you go pick those up for me, Glenda?" "I can't pick those up." "Exactly." And that is the problem with gossip. You spread it, you can't pick it up. So do your best to clean up your mess and let it serve as a lesson. Gossip in the church has got to go. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.